Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Coach Mack, time to talk ball with Coach Mack. What's up, man?
Guys, just got back from the combine. Went up early Tuesday morning.
Yeah?
And got back late Sunday night, so I got my good dose of combine in.
There were some freakishly athletic performances put in up there. Sweat, the defensive lineman from Mississippi State, ran a 4.41
and had a 36-inch vert, Coach. He's 6'6", 260.
Like, yeah. How much
God doesn't make a lot
guys?
Of those people.
How much, excuse me, what?
How much faster and stronger and
can they get? Yeah, exactly, Don. That's what I'm. Yeah. You know, I've been going. This is my 32nd combine that I've been to. So and I've seen it evolve over the years. But where I sit, I'll sit. You know, right where they start the 40. There's a group of us that will sit. You saw where Gil Brandt was sitting. You know, that's where Gil Brandt and Al Davis, you know, used to sit. Tom Coughlin right there. And then there's a group of us that sit about as we start the rows back about 15 rows up. And when let's talk about Montez Sweat. When he got up there to run, I mean, this is a really long, long, athletic looking player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really kind of incredible.
He looks like a basketball player, maybe.
Yes, he does. I mean, he looks like a power forward, but yeah. I mean, running that fast, and so yeah, there's some real edge guys, you know, in this draft, and some other guys that are down the line. I mean, I was really impressed with Brian Burns from Florida. I liked his workout. I liked his combine, you know, and what he did, because, you know, we'll sit there, and of course, you know, you're sitting there all day, and you're watching, you know, all the workouts, you're watching all the drills, and then of course you're talking a lot, and as the assistant coaches filter through there, you know, I would be sitting, I sat with Greg Cosell the whole time, but then the
love that guy.
Then the coaches, assistant coaches, would filter through, you know, as their groups were working. So you'd be with a different group every day, and then talking to them and getting their take on some of these players. And then there are some interesting players in this draft. And of course, you're going to have some combine freaks. I mean, you always do. And their production on the tape does not match what they've done there.
Right.
You know, a good one, a good name to bring out on that's Rashawn Gary from Michigan.
Right.
Yep. I mean, this guy was so impressive to watch him run and watch him do it. And when you put on the tape, it just, you know, those traits don't translate to a lot of consistently productive plays. He'll make some plays, but you have to use all of it as just a piece to put things together. But the way they are training for this thing now, hey guys, they are having the when they're lifting the 225 reps, they've got stands built that they're bringing fans in to cheer for the 225.
Isn't that crazy?
No, I mean, it is. I mean, it looks like it's like the whole setup around it is like a mini Super Bowl, you know, with Radio Row, you know, with all the journalists, and then they bring those fans in and put them in those stands. I mean, it is really become a production. It's amazing.
I love Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman from Alabama. Fastest 40 time for a 300-pounder at the combine in 7 years. You know what he ate for breakfast, according to Vic Tafur that day?
Yeah, Oreos. Look.
Four double-stuffed Oreos.
I talked to Quinnen Williams. He's working at a place in Thousand Oaks, California, a place called Mamba. That Kobe Bryant owns with a bunch of other guys. And one of the guys that is our, in fact, Don, I brought back, the Mamba people gave me a black, one of those stocking caps like you always wear.
Oh my goodness, you have to wear that.
No, I'm going to give it to her.
Oh, yes, thanks, Coach.
They give me a brand new.
No, I'm going to rock it.
I know you will. You'll look good in it.
And they also give you a medium Memphis Express starter jacket?
Mickey, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. I got Singletary on speed dial right here.
I'll take the XL if you can't get the medium.
But Quinnen Williams, look, when you watch Quinnen Williams play on tape, it's so much fun to watch. When you really go through and start digging his tape, because what he does, you know, I was on a staff that drafted Jarrell Casey here. I was on a staff that drafted Aaron Donald. This guy's a taller one of those dudes. I mean, and plus, I mean, I've seen him double swim, double teams. I mean, he's really slippery. I mean, he really is. And then, you know, just to talk to him, he's such a young looking kid. I mean, his movement is, there's some guys, you know, that just look like they're just flowing when they move.
Yeah.
That's what he is. And in the drills, especially the change of direction drills and especially the command drills. I mean, this guy's going to be special. He really is.
There's so much talk about the defensive line class. Now that you've been to the combine, you've really seen a bunch of those guys up close and personal. And we're talking about a couple of them. How do you feel about the class overall and how deep it is?
It's deep. It is deep, Mick. Now, you're going to be, of course, the quality of player, clearly, as you start from the top and work your way through it, you know, is going to diminish because that's just the way it is. But even if you say diminished, and I do that with quotation marks around it, if it diminishes, you know, down to the middle of the second, top of the third round, you're still getting quality football players. And when you have that with one position group, then you've got a pretty deep draft. And it's the same way with offensive linemen. I mean, I loved watching Garrett Bradbury, you know, the guard center from North Carolina State yep. play. I mean,
I've seen him on a mock draft. That's who Todd yeah. McShay had the Titans taken.
He did. I don't look at any mock drafts. Because,
right.
But look,
I think it's interesting that you
this player,
up.
Just to watch, you know, when you watch him and watch him move and, you know, just, you know, with the eyeball test, you go, okay, you know, there's a guy that could probably do a lot of things, you know, as a center in this league. So anyway, I mean, I love the combine. I do love the combine. I like the combine. First of all, I get to see everybody in the league that I know and catch up and do all that stuff. But then to be able to sit up there and to watch these players. And as I say, it's not an end all to be all, but it does give you a chance to know. And you know, it helps me in my broadcast when I'm doing it because, you know, I've watched these guys all these years. And it helps you so you know where they are. And plus, it's going to help, you know, too, because, you know, the way free agency is, some of these guys are going to be ready to come out in 4 years.
You mentioned that's where Al Davis sat with Gil Brandt. Who are the guys, and I would imagine Mr. Gil is still one of those guys, that, like, everybody sees and they just defer to those guys, like the godfathers of the whole operation.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gil is clearly one of those guys. I mean, right. When you walk, you know, every morning when you walk in and he's already sitting there and he's got, you know, you go over there and kiss the ring and, you know, and you walk back up there and, you know, the Indianapolis has rehired Howard Mudd,
oh, wow.
You know, the offensive
yes,
line coach.
Sure.
And, you know, Howard is one of those guys that was one of the original members of what they call the Mushroom Society because, you know, the old offensive line coaches, and I say old school offensive line coaches, when I first got in the league, they formed a group called the Mushroom Society there with the offensive linemen because, you know, they say when you grow mushrooms, you always keep them in the dark and cover them with manure. And they said, well, that's what everybody does with offensive line coaches. So they had shirts made up, Mushroom Society, yellow shirts, mushrooms on it. You know, it showed manure on top of it.
Okay.
It was awesome. Those guys, you know, just like Jim Hannifin used to be. You know
right.
the name Jim Hannifin.
Sure.
But those guys are gone now. I mean, you know, there's a lot of those guys that are gone now. And plus, the thing that's gotten different now is that everybody has a suite. You know, back in the day, nobody had a suite. You know, especially when it was in the RCA Dome. So everybody's in the stands. Now, a lot of the coaches still like to come down to the stands. Because it's a good place to watch it from, but it's different now. It's just a bigger production now.
I've even been at a pro day with Arkansas State where you don't have every team there, and it's a small group of guys that are working out. We had a kid who was an undersized safety, 6 foot tall, 186 pounds, and he ran a 40 that put him on the radar. And actually, he had a 3-year NFL career. But I remember what that felt like when he ran that. Like you could feel electricity going through the crowd. And this is a small crowd. On the field at Arkansas State, what's it like when somebody does something incredible in a room full of people like that?
No, and that's a good way to put it. You can feel it, and you can hear everybody, too, because, look, if you sit there and watch enough of them, I mean, I've watched it for 34 years, you can kind of tell what they've run
right.
when you look at it. But then when somebody really takes off and all of a sudden you go, whoa.
Like Cedric Woods, for example, the safety from Ole Miss ran a 4.29.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and DK Metcalf. I mean, you got a dude.
Cool.
You got a dude gets up
machine.
There. Looks like he's got that Halloween Batman costume on.
Right.
I mean, and all of a sudden when he started, I mean, you know, when he came out of there, that back foot that he started on, I mean, he tore turf out of the ground. I mean, he was blowing. I mean, it was pretty interesting.
4.33, 1.6% body fat.
Yeah, I don't think that's real.
Healthy.
I think if you got 1.66, you're about gone, aren't you?
Right. That doesn't seem healthy to me.
I mean, no, that's like a lizard. And I don't think you.
Does it worry you, though, his lateral stuff?
Yes, absolutely it does. He was not good.
Yeah.
He was not good in a three cone, in the 20-yard shuttle. He was not good.
Yeah.
And that's his issue. And that's what he's going to be. You know, whoever drafts him, is what they're going to get is a big combat catcher.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you're going to get because you're not going to run a real intricate route tree with him right. because he doesn't drop his hips and transition from that speed, you know, to the transition point to drop his hips to get ready to make breaks and stuff. But I mean, when you're that big, he only played 21 games, right, you know, in college. And so, I mean, you're drafting a physical specimen, but as an accomplished receiver, he's not that.
Somebody will do it.
Yes, they will. There's no doubt.
Early.
Well, there is. Had a freak injury this past year, though.
Yeah, well, and then he had the neck injury, you know, right, the neck injury that put him down. But, as far as just, you know, somebody that was impressive physically with all the things that he did there, except for the change of direction stuff, I mean, it was pretty impressive to watch.
NHL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Dave McGinnis with us. Brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Talking about the Combine, Dave McGinnis has been to a couple of those.
One or two.
Or like all of them.
I was going to say one or two times 20.
One or two, as I said. This is, I think they've had it there for 32 years, so I've been to about 31 of them, maybe 30, maybe 32.
Are you amazed at just how big and fast? We were sitting here one day and we were talking about the steel curtain. And I said, and we had an intern at that time, and I said, crack open the computer and let's go position for position. And I said, don't go Alabama, don't go LSU, go Middle Tennessee, and let's go size, like how big they are. And the starters from Middle Tennessee at every position, and I said, let's you know, don't go SEC school, don't go Big Ten.
Right.
All of the guys at Middle were bigger than their counterpart on the steel curtain.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's just where it is. You know, Joe Green was on my staff for 8 years.
Right.
You know, and he's always said that. Of course, Joe Green is the one that started the position of the tilt nose. When you see these guys, you know, tilt nose and stuff. And he started doing that because he was getting so much double team stuff. Now, you know, Joe Green had hands like a, you know, grizzly bear hitting you upside the head.
Right.
So that helped. But Yeah. I mean, the size now of these guys.
They called Ernie Holmes fats, coach, and he weighed like 268 pounds.
Yeah, he's 260.
And they called him fats.
Yeah, he was 268. Now, there were some huge guys. If you really want to start talking NFL history, you can go back. I mean, Doug Atkins from down here at Tennessee.
Yeah. He was a man.
No. That's a big dude.
Yeah.
Because
I've heard he might be the meanest guy ever, too, on the football field.
All right, you want to tell Doug Atkins stories? When I was coaching at the Bears, every year they would have the alumni come in for one game, and then they had it at the Hilton Towers, which is downtown on Michigan Avenue. So after our Saturday night meetings, when they were in there, we would go down as coaches, you know, because Ditka was there and he knew all of them.
Right.
We would go down and just mingle with those guys. I'm telling you something. Now, Doug Atkins, that was a man's man. And, you know, they tell the stories about Doug Atkins because at the time they were practicing in Wrigley Field. You know, they played in Wrigley and they practiced in Wrigley. And, you know, they'd go out to practice a lot of times and finally, you know, Papa Bear Hollis would have to tell one of the assistants, you know, go over there and tell Doug it's about time to practice, because he'd have a 22 and he was laying down there on the tarp shooting pigeons out of the top of Wrigley Field.
Uh-huh. You know, tell it.
Hey, somebody's got to.
So, I mean, and then I talked to Danny Abramowitz. You know that name? Danny Abramowitz was a slot receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Archie Manning, you know, and Danny, you know, in Doug's later years when he went down to, you know, he went down to New Orleans, you know, of course, Abramowitz, right, you know, and then Atkins, they were lockered next to each other. And he said every morning he'd come in and he had this dog, he said, that looked like, you know, about what you'd think Doug Atkins' dog would look like. And he said he'd put that dog underneath that locker and then go off somewhere. And Danny would start to reach down for his shoes. And that dog would do, girl. So, yeah, there are some characters, guys.
Doug Atkins. Kentucky edge rusher Josh Allen, he was a two-star prospect coming out of high school.
I don't know, what do the stars mean?
It means top three in the NFL draft, apparently, if you're this guy.
Oh, this guy.
What do you think?
This guy's long and supple. I mean, he really is, and I really like his game. He is the ideal 3-4 outside backer in this day and age. Supple. I mean, he can move. He can slide. You know, and a lot of these guys that have to kind of restart if they start up the field, then be able to bend. He doesn't have to do that. He's able to stay right with the same motion with what he's doing. I like his game a lot. And the other thing I like about him, if you watch his tape and you really start grinding on his on what he did in the Southeast Conference, he got better every year he played.
Yeah.
You know, you watched him. I mean, Dawn, you do out Southeast Conference games. I mean, he got better as what he was doing.
And I worked his games early. I worked a bunch of his games early on in his career.
No, you could tell that, couldn't
right,
you?
Yeah.
I mean, you could just see it. You could just see him. You could see his progress and see him grow. I love that player. I really do. I like him a lot.
We have a Michigan fan that listens to the show, wants to know your thoughts on Devin Bush, linebacker, ran a 4.44 40.
Yeah, Devin Bush. And I mean, I watched Devin Bush play. You know, of course, you know, Jim Harbaugh, we drafted Harbaugh when I was there. So I've always, right. You know, I watch his. I love Devin Bush. Okay, because here's what he is. Devin Bush reminds me of Jayon Brown, and he may have more speed. You know, he may have more just straight out speed. Here's what he is. He's a really good heat seeking linebacker. He's not very big, but what he does, he is able to trigger. He's a trigger linebacker. Mm-hmm. What I call it. It doesn't take him long to see it, and then once he sees it, he can go. And especially nowadays, the way the National Football League has morphed into such a horizontal passing game and everything's spread out. This guy's a three down linebacker in the league because he can cover. And then if he is one of your starting linebackers, then you will fix your front to cover him up some so he can run and hit. And he's a really instinctual guy. I like him a lot. The two Devins there, the two linebackers were the best there. Devin Bush and then Devin White.
Devin White from LSU. Yeah, I was going to say, what'd you think about him?
Loved them both. Yeah. Loved them both. And their workouts, I like their workouts. You know, when I watch him, because you could see their intent on taking instruction, you know, what they did. You could see a sudden transition, start and stop. Didn't take them a lot of times to put on the air brakes to start and go forward. I like both those players.
A lot of these mock drafts, and it's been this way for a couple of years, and we were chatting a little bit about this in the break, but a lot of these national guys always have the Titans picking a tight end in the first round, which, you know, last year we said that's crazy, and then now it's back again this year. I'm sure Delanie Walker would have something to say about it, but there's some two pretty good tight ends out of Iowa.
Oh, yeah, T.J. Hawkinson and Noah Fant.
Can you break them down?
Yeah, I can. T.J. Hawkinson is the most complete tight end because you're going to get – I've seen
– Coach, right now you've got Titans Twitter on fire. Hawkinson's name just – sends people into the heights, man.
Well, I thought it was me that sent him into heights.
You do that, okay, but when you and Hawkinson team together, it's like Starsky and Hutch.
It's over.
Look, T.J. Hawkinson is a complete tight end, and by that, what I mean, I have seen him block people in front of him with their hands on the ground, and then plus he's a guy, he's a big mismatch down the field. He's got good space ability. He's got good spatial awareness. He's got a big catch radius. I like him a lot. I mean, he's the matchup problems that everybody has now in the National Football League at tight end. Mm. That's the matchup problem. And he can be an inline blocker. When you've got that guy that can do both of those things, then you've got a special package. Mm. That's what he has. And he's good. He's a good, good football player. Fant from the core, he's going to be a huge mismatch for anybody because he can run. You know, what did he run? I mean, you guys look at this. I mean, it looked like he ran fast.
Yeah.
But he can run. And the other thing that he's got a nice ability to set people that are covering him up. He can set them up. He understands how to run stems. I mean, both of these guys are going to be, look, have a run game where you want to secure an edge with a tight end and you're going to want somebody to be able to block some, get a stalemate. He can do it. Fant is a little lighter. When you look at him and you see him,
does Hawkinson fit more because of the run game, because of Derrick Henry? Like you said, a much better choice than Fant, do you think, because of the blocking?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you just got 11 personnel, which is one tight, three wides, okay, that tight end is going to have to be able to split. You've got 12 personnel, and I don't want to get too technical, but it's two wide receivers, two tight ends, one back. If defenses match that with base personnel, complementary tight end that can split out, that's a mismatch. Now, I mean, you've got one or two ways to do it. You've either got to bring down your best cover safety on that, or you're going to have to walk out.
Here, meet Derrick Henry.
Football is a game of numbers and angles. I mean, to be able to at least shield somebody, but you're going to want to use him downfield because he's a mismatch.
Man, Coach Mack, we've run through a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I've already graded and done. You know, we're going to do a huge draft show here, so I'll – by the end of the time of doing that, I'll have graded out and looked at about 150 guys.
Dexter Lawrence, Clemson defensive tackle, 5'05", 40 at 330 pounds. What do you see when you pop the tape in with that guy?
Yeah, just a big, heavy load. And what you would do with him, I mean, you'd put him down. I mean, you would play him in a one technique, which is like between the center and the guard. You know, and then you would pair him with a three technique, which could play on the outside of the opposite guard, a quicker guy. He can eat up double teams. He can push double teams. I mean, we were talking earlier. I said, it's like dropping a big front end loader right down in front of your car. I mean, you're not going to go anywhere. Right. I mean, this guy is a big man that can move. Now, he pulled his quad running. You know, he pulled his quad running there. You could see that, but you could see that he can move. And when you put the tape on and you watch him play before he was suspended, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I mean, you can see, and it's a big athlete. And, you know, God just doesn't put that many big people on earth that can move like that. So, I mean, he's going to be, especially if he goes to a team that's going to play a two gap team, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be 4-3 or 3-4, but somebody that's going to two gap some people, he's ideal.
What do you think about the quarterbacks? It was funny to us, you know, watching Kyler Murray basically went there to show that he's 5'10 and that he could carry over 200 pounds on his frame. Other than that, he interviewed. And
to show that his hand was nine and a half inches.
And that was it. Like, I'm not going to throw anything. I'm not going to run side by side. I'm not going to do any of that. But here's how big I am. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, and again, as I say, that, you know, to me, if they don't work out there, I mean, I've never been one to get real mad at him. You got tape to watch. I mean, you really do. I mean, I talked to Sean Payton about him, you know, and of course, Sean's not in that market, but he said, you know, I could already envision some of the things I would do with somebody like that. I mean, when you watch him play, I mean, you get to see some pretty special stuff. I mean, you can tell he's a baseball player because he's like Mahomes. He flicks the ball. Right. I mean, it's not a big windup. I mean, it's a flick, and it's down there quick. It's accurate. I mean, he can do all of those things. And again, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you wouldn't look at a quarterback this size. Well, now, I mean, you know, you've got some people that have come out just recently from that same school, Baker Mayfield, that have been, you know, I talked to John Dorsey there, and he said, Mac, you can't even believe, you know, what a good leader this kid is. Yeah. Talking about Baker Mayfield, you know, and how much he energized that franchise and what he did. Now, you're talking about Charlie Casserly, you know, right. And I didn't read it, I didn't see it. He said that there were some unfavorable things, you know, about his interviews and what he's done. Look.
Lack of leadership, lack of study, bad on the whiteboard.
Okay. Yeah, worse than bad or whatever the terminology was on the whiteboard. Yeah,
low, not good.
That's usually not good. Okay, but anyway, if you're in the market, if you're in that market, then you're going to vet that. And you're going to vet that hard. You know, and those, you make that type of decision, because if you make that type of decision, you're going to, you know, he's going to, you draft him in the first round, he's got to be your quarterback. And so, you know, you're going to vet that out. And I, you know, again, I'm not saying Charlie Casserly's not telling the truth, because Charlie's well, well connected. Mm-hmm. Believe me, and there were some people that told him that, or he wouldn't have said it.
Right.
Because he didn't have to make anything up.
Oh, he trusts.
Yeah, he doesn't have to make anything up right now. I mean, he's got no bones to pick, you know, pick with the kid. But if you're going to draft that guy, you got to vet him pretty hard.
It's interesting, though, this year-old team, the Cardinals, will have a new head coach in place, obviously, after just 1 year, and could also have a new quarterback. You know, that could be, obviously, if you're going to take Murray, you're going to get rid of Josh Rosen. That's a whole lot of change in less than a calendar year.
Well, it's not a lot of change. It's not a lot of change for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a lot of change for him. I mean, he's coming right there. And if you want to fit an offense, now Kingsbury's already said, he said it there at Indy, there's some things he's going to have to do different with his offense just because of the way the hash marks are. Mm-hmm. The hash marks are different in the NCAA than the way they are in the National Football League. And so some of your spread offense, you have to change, you know, the mechanics of what you do. But you talk about an offense that's tailor made for this kid. Right. That's what he does. And that's, you know, and so it's not a, you know, look, the Cardinals are at the bottom anyway. Right. You know, and they had a one and done coach. All right. You've got a one and done coach. And so this is not if they decide to do that, well, then, you know, they'll trade Josh Rosen. I mean, plus, you know, you're trading. I mean, they'll eat the bonus money they gave him. What was it? $7 million, $7.5 million. Somewhere in there, they'll eat that bonus money and just start going ahead with Murray. I mean, that's not a big change, because they're changing everything anyway.
What do you remember about him when you evaluated him last year, Rosen?
You know what? I thought he had a really good arm. He had he was a little up and down. Okay, I thought he was a natural thrower of the football, and I thought he was a tough guy. I mean, you know, because he'd taken some hits. He was taking some hits, and I mean, he's a legitimate quarterback in this league. Look, you can't, you know, he's kind of, what happened to him last year is kind of like what happened to Jared Goff that first year we had him. What he was surrounded with wasn't real good for his health, you know, with what was going on. But Rosen can throw the ball. Rosen can be a quarterback in this league. What is his ceiling? I don't know, but he's a high floor guy because he can throw the ball.
Right.
Well, Coach, the last couple of days, our shows have focused on Antonio Brown, and a lot of Titans fans wanting Antonio Brown here. I'm going to phrase the question to you this way.
Okay.
take away the cost, the expense, the capital that you would have to give up to get him, would you take him?
Yeah.
Would you get him?
Yeah. I mean, he's a special player.
Off the field stuff?
He really is. Look, the only way I would take him, and again, I'm not doing it, but I worked for a guy for years that in Jeff Fisher that would take chances, take chances on guys, because he could handle them.
Yeah.
He could handle them. And believe me, what I know of John Robinson and what I know of Mike Vrabel, if they vet this and say, they can handle that. They can handle that. And there's if you don't have a head coach and a general manager and an organization that can handle it, then you don't do it. But, and there's some that can't. You know,
does Oakland have that?
Yes, because they don't care.
Okay, now throw it.
Plus, they're going to Vegas. I mean, they, you know, but look, just talking about being able to handle guys and being able to put them into what you want to do. These, you know, Mike Vrabel and John Robinson can handle anybody you'd want to bring in.
What about if you throw in the expense, the capital, first round draft pick, would you?
This team right now does not have the draft capital as far as to what they want. I mean, you know, you got a 19th pick. You've only got 6 picks in the draft. Yeah. You know, Oakland is sitting there with 3 first round picks.
Yep.
You know, and plus, you know, and plus the other thing about Antonio Brown that you look at is the fact that he's working off of what, $12.5-13 million this year?
Yes.
Is that what he's working off of?
Yes.
But he wants a new contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
He wants a new contract. He doesn't want to play. So all of that stuff has
next year would be 11.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he wants more than that.
Yes.
So he wants a new contract with what's going on. But you just ask me about physical ability and what he could bring to your football team as a receiver to get offensive production. Yes. I mean, he's one of the best in the league right now. Has had how many hundred catch years has he had?
NFL record 6 straight 1,000 yard seasons and led the NFL with 15 receiving touchdowns last year. So
okay.
No drop off.
30.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Other than that, it's not very good, right?
Real quick on the way out, we had a question on Twitter, Titans247. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson.
More of a 3 technique, a mover, a little bit more slippery.
That's why those guys worked.
Great together. I mean, when they were in there together, they worked really good together. You know, very much so. You know, not a real heavy anchor against the run, but really, you know, I mean, you're going to get some nice pass rush stuff out of it. Plus, the other thing that he did that I really like watching his tape is he can skim the edge off of the inside and flatten out to get runs that are going away from him. He's got a nice change of direction, stick his foot in the ground and be able to flatten and skim down for runs either to his left or to his right. He's a special type of player too. He's just not the big load that Wilkerson is.
Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Thank you, Coach Mack.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Man. I could do like 2 more hours with you just talking about combine numbers.
Good. Yep. See you guys later.
Let me tell you.
All right, hey there.
y'all would like the combine.
Oh.
Maybe
I watched
we'll
it on TV,
year.
Man.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Mickey
was like in it.
He's Jones
all
of
it. Day.
It
you know
he's
what?
Addicted.
And I've watched some of it on television, that like the replays and stuff. It's real. I mean, it's. What a production this thing has gotten to be. It's going to be, sooner or later, they're talking about doing all the medicals in Indy and doing all the running in L.A. I mean, this is going to be, believe me, the league knows what the hell. There was one day where they had the whole, I know I'm supposed to be gone. They had the whole end zone sold out of fans. I'm sorry, JT. All right, see you. Bye.
We were talking about Kyler Murray and the Charlie Casserly audio. We have that for you. What